إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، a few weeks ago, a few Jumu'ahs ago, we were discussing the topic of the benefit of seeking knowledge, and we were discussing the topic of placing the Islamic knowledge over the so-called secular or dunya knowledge, and we also discussed the excellence and the superiority of the scholars of Islam and those who seek knowledge. And we also discussed how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at those people who have that knowledge. Inshallah, we'd like to continue with this topic of seeking knowledge. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we'd like to talk about the niyyah that one should have and the reasons why one should seek knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ يُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمَةَ. They have not been commanded to do anything except to worship Allah. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Having pure ikhlas of intention, pure sincerity of intention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing the salah and paying the zakat, and that is the upright deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and an authentic narration that is collected by Imam Muslim and others, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That actions are judged by intention. That actions are judged by intention. Meaning that one half of a righteous deed is having a pure, clean niyyah. And some of the people of the past pertaining to the niyyah, like Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of Islam of the past, he said, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُعَظِّمُهُ النِّيَّةِ وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ وَعَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُصَغِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. He said, perhaps a large act can be made small by the niyyah, and perhaps a small act can be made large because of the niyyah. So the niyyah is a type of worship that involves every single aspect of our lives. And those who want to seek knowledge, they should purify their niyyah to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because of the nature of the niyyah, because of the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the niyyah, and it is a created thing, for there is nothing that is not created except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the only one that is not created, and everything else is. The way that Allah created this thing called a niyyah, it has the ability to overwhelm you. You start out with a good niyyah, and then when you're in the middle of the act, the niyyah changes. And this is why Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the noble companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا عَالَجْتُ شَيْئًا أَشَدُّ عَلَيَّ مِنْ نِيَّتِي لِأَنَّهَا تَتَقَلَّبُ عَلَيَّ. He said, I haven't seen anything that is more difficult to treat and deal with than my niyyah, than my intention. Because it always has the ability to overwhelm me and overpower me. I have a niyyah for this one day, and then a minute later, an hour later, a day later, a week later, my niyyah overcomes me and it changes. I set out to do one thing, and then I end up doing it for something else. I set out coming to the masjid to learn about my Lord and about the deen of Islam. And then when I get to the masjid, or on my way to the masjid, my niyyah changes. So this thing called niyyah is very important when we're seeking knowledge. And we must constantly be on top of it to purify our niyyah so that we can worship Allah in the best of ways, the way that He wants us to worship Him, the way that He wants us to pray to Him and give our charity and make hajj to Him and all the other types of ibadat. In addition to this, brothers and sisters in Islam, in addition to purifying our intentions, in addition to purifying our niyat of which, once we said, as we said, is half of the righteous deed. And the other half of the righteous deed is it being conformity with the Quran and the authentic sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After we realize and have wrestled with and shackled down our niyyah to keep it straight and to keep it pure, we must know that knowledge is only to seek the face of Allah and then to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, من تعلم العلم مما يبتغى به وجه الله لا يتعلمه إلا ليصيب عرضا من الدنيا لم يجد عرف الجنة يوم القيامة أو كما قاله عليه الصلاة والسلام. Whoever seeks knowledge for the purpose that they should be seeking the knowledge, which is to see the face of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they don't seek that knowledge, meaning their niyyah changes, but they end up not seeking that knowledge except to grasp some type of dunya, to grasp some of the things of the dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will not smell the fragrance of Jannah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the purpose that we're seeking the knowledge is not to gain a wife or not to keep a position on the Majlis of Shura. The reason why we are gaining knowledge and seeking knowledge is not to get a husband or to get some money or to get fame and rank in the earth. But the reason why we should be seeking the knowledge is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see His face. And this is why Abu Darda again, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, إِنِّي لَسْتُ أَخْشَ أَن يُقَالَ لِي يَا عُوَيْمِرْ مَاذَا عَلِمْتَ. He said, I don't fear that it will be said to me, Ya Uwaymir, what did you learn? وَلَكِنْ إِنِّي أَخْشَ أَن يُقَالْ Ya Uwaymir, مَاذَا عَمِلْتَ بِمَا عَلِمْتَ. He said, but rather what I'm afraid of is one saying to me, or it will be said to me, what did you do with that which you learned? What did you do with that which you learned? And this is in conformity with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم لا تزول قدم ابن آدم يوم القيامة من عند ربه حتى يسأل عن خمسة. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the feet of the son, and it means the son and daughters of Adam, the feet of the son of Adam, our two feet, will not be able to move, meaning we won't have the ability to move our feet on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, from in front of our Lord until we answer five questions. عن عمره فيما أثناه. On his life, concerning your life, concerning my life, and how we spent it. وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَ أَبْلَاهُ. And how you spent your youth. And most of us here, probably all of us here, are young men. Even the brothers who are 60 years old, they're still considered young. And those sisters who are listening to my voice, you're still young at 30 and 40 and 50 and 60. You're going to be asked what you did with your youth. What did you do when you were 8, when you were 10, when you were 15, when you were 20? What did you do with it? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَهُ. And your money, your property, your wealth, your cattle, cows, goats, sheep, cars, clothes, jewelry, money, homes, apartment buildings. All those things, where did you earn your wealth and on what did you spend it? Where did you earn your wealth and on what did you spend it? وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمَ. And what did you do with what you learned? What did you do with the knowledge that you learned from the scholars of Islam? You sought the knowledge with a pure intention, but when you got the knowledge, what did you do with it? How did you utilize it? Did you use that knowledge to benefit you? Or did you use that knowledge to benefit you for the dunya? Did you use that knowledge to gain, to seek the knowledge to get you to the hereafter so that you can see the face of Allah, the one who created you? Or did you gain that knowledge to only be seen by men, or to gain rank and to gain position in the dunya? So brothers and sisters in Islam, once we gain this knowledge, we should give back to Allah something for the knowledge. And the knowledge, just like our wealth, are parts of oppression in this life. Knowledge and wealth are parts of the transgression in this life. As one of the people of the past, one of the tabi'un, whose name was Yusuf ibn al-Husayn, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Fi dunya tughyanani, tughyanul ilm wa tughyanul mal. Walladhi yunjika min tughyanil ilm al-ibada. Walladhi yunjika min tughyanil mal as-zuhdu fihi." He said that in the dunya, there are two types of transgression, going over the limit, oppression. The two types are the oppression and transgressing the limit concerning knowledge. And the other one is the transgression or the oppression and going over the limit concerning money and wealth. That which will save you and give you salvation from the transgression and the oppression and going over the limit concerning the knowledge is worship. And that which will save you from the transgression and going over the limits of wealth is having a zuhud in this wealth. Meaning, trying your best to stay away from accumulating a whole lot and spending your time thinking about the dunya. And Abu Qulaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the people in the second generation, the tabi'un, one of the illustrious scholars of those people, of that generation, he said, إِذَا أَحْدَثَ اللَّهُ لَكَ عِلْمًا فَأَحْدِثْ لَهُ عِبَادَةً وَلَا يَكُنْ إِنَّمَا هَمُّكَ أَن تُحَدِّثَ بِهِ النَّاسِ. He said, when Allah gives you knowledge, then you should give back to Allah worship. When Allah gives you knowledge, this beautiful gift of knowledge, then you should give back to Allah in return, and Allah is in no need of anything from us. You should give back to Allah, which will be a benefit for yourselves. Give back to Allah, worship. And don't let your desire just to be narrating to people. This hadith, that hadith, this ayah of Quran, that ayah of Quran, showing off. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this beneficial knowledge, once we purified our intentions, we should make sure that we give back to Allah the worship. For surety, brothers and sisters, as we mentioned a few Jumu'ahs ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn or men except that they worship me. And the only way we can worship Allah correctly is having correct knowledge, purifying our intentions, and giving back Allah what He has given us, the receipt of that, which is ibadah, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Please move up, brothers, inshallah. Give some space to the people coming. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته ومن والاه. وبعد. My beloved brothers and sisters, believers in Allah on the last day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, لا تعلموا العلم لتباهوا به العلماء أو تماروا به السفهاء أو لتجترئوا به المجالس فمن فعل ذلك فالنار النار. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, don't seek knowledge to compete with the scholars. And don't seek knowledge to argue with the ignorant. And don't seek knowledge to overpower or overcome and take over and wrestle the seats of learning, the halaqat, the circles of learning. He said, whoever does this, then the hellfire. How many of us know of people who have gone to school or otherwise, whether they're schools in the Middle East or schools here in the masjids and Islamic centers of America, learning knowledge, the beneficial knowledge, that which will benefit us in this life and the next. But they go with the intention, and Allah knows best what is inside their chest. They go to argue with the imams, or they go to argue with the students of knowledge, or they go to argue with the scholars to compete with them, and to show off, to make those ignorant people who are present, make them feel small, showing off their knowledge, or to take over the halaqat. They never ever go to the masjid. But when they go to the masjid, when you see them, they're there just to sit and wait in the lurch. Just to wait for somebody to slip. Just to wait for somebody to use an unauthentic hadith. He waits for the whole year for that imam in the month of Ramadan to use that unauthentic hadith that we all know that is unauthentic. The whole year he studied the whole chain of the hadith, memorizing the men in the chain to make sure that he has it right. And in Ramadan, the first Jum'ah, he waits for the imam to use the hadith as an example. أول شهر رمضان رحمة وأوسطه مغفرة وآخره عتق من النار. The beginning of Ramadan is mercy. The middle of Ramadan is forgiveness. And the end of Ramadan is exemption from the hellfire. All of the scholars of the past of hadith and present today say this hadith is no good. But that person, he'll go to the masjid and he'll wait for the imam or the sheikh to use that hadith so he can say, you see there? You see? We knew you wasn't on the da'wah. We know you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know anything. Look, you're using weak hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لا تعلموا العلم لتباهي به العلماء. Don't learn the knowledge to compete with the ulama. And one of the scholars of Islam, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said about people who do this, عَلَامَةُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي لَا يَنْفَعُ أَنْ يَكْسِبُ صَاحِبُهُ الزَّهُ وَالْفَقْرُ وَالْخُيَلَاءُ وَطَلَبَ الْعُلُو وَالرِّفْعَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْمُنَافَسَةَ فِيهَا وطالب المباهات العلماء ومماراه الصفهاء وصرف وجوه الناس اليه. He said, rahimahullah, one of the signs of knowledge that does not benefit is that the person who possesses that knowledge that doesn't benefit, he's proud. She's proud. They're haughty. They're boasting. They seek high position and rank and competition in it. They like to compete for it. And they seek to compete with the scholars. And they seek to argue with the ignorant. And they seek to turn the people's faces towards them. And this is why Malik ibn Dinar, one of the great tabi'un, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, من تعلم علما للعمل كسره علمه. من تعلم العلم للعمل كسره علمه ومن طلبه لغير العمل زاده فخرا. He said, whoever seeks knowledge, then his knowledge will humble him. But whoever seeks it for something other than that, then will increase him in pride and arrogance. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who purify our intentions for seeking this beneficial knowledge. The knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the knowledge of the companions, because for a surety, there is no knowledge except the knowledge that comes from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As one of the great scholars of Islam has said in the past, العلم ما جاء عن أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما لم يجي عن واحد منهم فليس بعلم. He said that knowledge is only that which proceeds or emanates from the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that which does not come from one of the companions is not considered knowledge. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us practitioners of what we learn. Before the day comes when we'll stand in front of you and our feet will not be able to move until we answer those five questions. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us a lighthouse, a shining light, an example for that which we've learned. And to not just narrate to people these ayat and these surahs of the Quran and these authentic hadith from your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the statements of the Salaf al-Salih, our rightly guided predecessors. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to purify our hearts and give us unity based on La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam wa aqim as-salah.